I'm Iron Mile Mason, and you're listening to Beyond the Barbell.
Everyone, bro, I had to eat a bowl of cereal the other day, and I was like really excited. I'm eating foods that I'm not. I was not even expecting to be able to
eat. Yeah, so you know, and we can get into all that a little bit later with the details and all that, with like nutrient timing. You know, if you're working out twice a day, especially, you know, you want higher GI carbs. Higher GI carbs are, you know, you're more like sugary cereals. I like to say it's like better tasting carbs than something like rice, you know, sweet potatoes, something like that. But yeah, you know, everyone loves the label diets. You know, it's really just, you know, scientific dieting. So, you know, paleo has some benefits. If it fits your macros, has some benefits. Let's see, you know, what else? You know, so it's just kind of taking the benefits of all of them and combining them into one and going, well, you know, here's why this one diet works. Well, we can just improve upon that a little bit. You know, with like paleo, well, paleo is really great. It's a really good starting point. Well, now we start having more carbs around, you know, training, and we can get a little bit more, you know, creative with having higher GI carbs, like, you know, Ben, if he's training multiple times a day, stuff like that. Well, all of a sudden, you know, you have that kind of paleo as your starting point, and then you start adding in more carbs around training, you know, bada bing, bada boom. You start doing well in the gym, and, that's, you know, people start taking notice, and they start going, hey, what's that guy doing?
Yeah, we actually have a couple athletes here that are on RP Strength.
And, oh, cool.
And yeah, in the past couple months, like with Tia, like just been getting crazy good. It's ridiculous,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
it's so it works.
Yeah, how many clients do you have right now following RP Strength?
You know, it's a really good question. So back in February, we used to only work with clients in a one-on-one setting, and we realized that there was a big demand out there in people that maybe didn't want to work with a coach one-on-one, or maybe like if you're a college student or something like that, you just can't afford a one-on-one diet coach. And so what we did is we came up with basically pre-built diets, or our RP auto diet templates. And so they're customized based on gender, body weight, and goal if you want to lose weight or gain weight. And they come with the adjustments already built in the diet. And so, you know, we were able to reach a much, you know, larger base. So let's say you can only work with a set number of clients in a one-on-one setting because, you know, time is your limiting factor. Well, then all of a sudden, you know, these we can reach, you know, hundreds of people at the start. And, you know, now we're reaching thousands of people literally across the world. So it's pretty cool. It's, you know, right now we have an RP clients group on Facebook and we have over 4,300 people in that group. So
4,300. Yeah, wow. Crazy. So in terms of the one-on-one clients, like it seems, what would steer somebody that route versus maybe?
Yeah, so this is a good question. You know, so if you're kind of really new to dieting and you just, there's just so much misinformation, you know, you can read, I mean, you can read for days, probably years, you know, on dieting stuff online, and you'll get tons of conflicting information. So for those that are more new to dieting, like they're kind of overwhelmed with everything, you know, it would be a really good idea to, you know, hire a diet coach, and they can answer all of your questions in a one-on-one setting, and, you know, can just help lay everything out around your sort of personalized schedule. Or, you know, maybe even really advanced athletes who have some crazier schedules. I know CrossFit athletes have some pretty crazy schedules, you know, training twice a day. I don't know, sometimes even more than that, you know, 2-3 times a day. Maybe that would require a little bit more one-on-one individualized attention. But for people who have, you know, some experience dieting, they probably have some experience, you know, maybe tracking their food intake, kind of counting calories, counting macros, something like that. And, you know, I think the diet templates are really good for people who they're just a little unsure of kind of what to eat and when to eat it. And the templates just do a really good job of literally laying all that out around different options and all that. So that's kind of the main difference.
So we alluded to the fact that you work with China and you know, a few other high-level athletes like Colleen Fauch, I believe, Jackie Perez, some other female clients of yours. You know, are they reporting back in this time? Are they reporting back PRs? Are they reporting back feeling stronger and smaller? Or, you know, what kind of feedback are you getting from your clients right now?
Yeah, so usually with, like, one-on-one clients, we ask for 2-time-a-week bodyweight updates. So
yeah, I forgot that.
So so we can track and monitor that. So let's say a client wants to lose 10 pounds in 3 months. So you have about 12 weeks. So the average pace is going to be what, around 1 pound per week or so, let's say. And so you just get their feedback, and you know, we have like an Excel weight tracker, and we can look at, you know, what the predicted line should be, should look like, of where they, you know, where they should be. And their feedback, you can kind of plot that, and you can see, well, okay, you know, they're ahead of schedule. Things are going great. No need to adjust anything, possibly even add in a little bit of food. People love that when you can add in food to their diet. Or if they're behind schedule for some reason, you know, you can go, okay, well, you know, now it's time to, you know, reduce calories from here or something like that. So usually we're looking for those updates. And of course, you know, how you're feeling in the gym, you know, if you're hitting any PRs. The cool thing, you know, with Instagram, you know, clients are always tagging us saying, hey, you know, I dropped 5-10 pounds, you know, I'm hitting PRs, or, you know, just, I think a girl just posted today, she had hit like 80 kilos on a lift and she was 10 pounds heavier. Well, today she just hit 81 kilos and she's 10 pounds, you know, lighter. So stuff like that. So, you know, that's a really big deal, especially if you're competing in a weight class sport. If you can drop, you know, a weight class and not lose any strength, well, that's all, I would say, almost the ideal outcome.
Yeah, for sure.
So you guys are obviously working with these higher level athletes, right? But you started in personal training. You know, what are some things, you know, I have a question, and my question is, like, what are the things that you're seeing fit people when they come to you with, like, hey, this is how I eat, you know, this is what I'm doing. It seems to be working for me, but I just want to know if there's something more out there. What are, like, the top three to five, whatever, top mistakes that like, athletes or fit people are making that they don't realize they're making?
Sure. Number one, I would say, without a doubt, is when it comes to losing weight. The premise is, oh, I got to cut carbs. Well, why do you want to cut carbs? Usually ask people that and they go, well, I don't know. That's just what everyone does, right? And so you look at it, you know, protein and carbs have to do, you know, the most with performance for strength athletes. Well, what's left? So you have protein, carbs, and fats, right? So why not, you know, lower your fat intake first so you're not having to drop your carbs? So lo and behold, you know, you can look, so calories in, calories out is king for when you want to lose weight. So, you know, you have to lower calories at some point. But, you know, where do those calories come from? Well, normally people want to cut carbs first. Well, why not cut fats first? Because they don't really have a whole lot to do with performance. All of a sudden, you know, that's how you can lose weight and still perform well and hit PRs in the gym. So that's definitely number one. Number two, I guess, would, you know, maybe not paying attention to their diet a whole lot sort of in the off season. And so that kind of ties in with number one, and that all of a sudden they realize that, hey, I'm 2 months out from the Open, or I have a weightlifting meet next month. Oh, crap, you know, I have to drop 5 or 10 pounds. And then they have to do some things that are a little bit more aggressive. So it kind of ties in. They both kind of tie in together. So generally, a good rule of thumb is, if you have an off season, I guess for CrossFit, we're kind of in the off season right now. You know, the Open doesn't start until, what, February?
February, yeah, by end of February.
And so the idea is, make your body composition changes. If you have weight to lose it ahead of time in the off season. So you're not having to cut calories. You're not having to, you know, lower carbs or anything like that, you know, when you're, I guess, in season. So if you think of it, like if you had a football player, when's the best time to lose weight? Would you want to have him losing a bunch of weight during the season when he's trying to focus on, you know, playing really well on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? Or do you want him to do that in the middle of the summer when he's just really probably training with weights or, you know, practicing with his teammates or something? Well, usually it's going to be better performance-wise if he's doing that in the off season. So I'd say those two kind of tie in together.
So if, like, regionals is coming up, you don't like the way you look without your shirt on, probably not the best time to start focusing on your body composition.
Yeah, you know, again, I think there's a decent chunk between the end of Open season and regionals, right? It's like, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah, I think 6 weeks. Yeah, a couple months, depending on which region you are. Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe if you're at the end of the regionals, well, maybe you have a few weeks in there, you can do something about it. But it's not a good idea to go, oh, crap, you know, it's the week of regionals. Oh, I need to drop, like, you know, 5 pounds or something. It's probably not the best idea.
I know that one time I did a competition. I was with Becca Voigt. You know, I think she's the only 8-time individual CrossFit Games competitor. And she was my partner. And I knew that there was a potential because they were going to draw names. It was actually Charlie Zamora's competition in Elk Grove. They were going to draw names. And basically, whoever you drew, it was a male-female team. And I knew that coming up to this, it was going to be a potential that I could be partnered with Becca or, you know, some other really high level female athlete. And so that week, basically, really the last 3 days up to that competition, I started really like eating paleo, which I didn't really do at the time. Yeah. I started cutting my carbs. And then when it came to actually competing, I did pretty well. And then I hit a wall and I just completely cramped up like my whole body. Like, yeah. And so I was trying to make all those changes at once and my body wasn't used to it. You know, so I feel like making those changes in the off season or away from competition.
Exactly.
Is probably smarter.
Totally. It's like, you know, you train year round for those, you know, what, 1 or 2 days of competition. You want all of your focus to be on how can I perform the absolute best that I can. And if you're trying to do any crazy stuff right at the end, it's just usually never bodes well for people.
So if we swing the other way, I think Jay will like this topic just because he was he self-proclaimed a fat kid when he was growing up.
Hey, actually, I was too, man. I remember until about junior high, I was always a little pudgy kid, so...
Yeah, well, like, dude, looking across from you now, you're jacked out of your mind. Like, I feel bad. I'm the smallest guy.
Well, you know, it's like probably one of those body.
If Blair was here, he'd feel way worse.
Yeah, it's like true. It's like one of those body image type things. I mean, if you look at, I come from a little bit more of a bodybuilding background, and you know, it's pretty common to hear bodybuilders. You know, they're all like chubby kids or something, and then they just kind of go, oh, well, if I do X and Y, well, I can get leaner and like look jacked and. Well,
kind of make up for the fat years.
Yeah, yeah, totally, man. And it just kind of gets like addicting. And just, well, I mean, you guys know it's kind of why we're all doing it. It's, you know, it's fun. It's
well, I have to work out to get bigger because my head is really large. And if I don't work out, I get smaller. My head, I look like a bobblehead. Like I just walk around. I mean, even more
sweet.
So than I do. Yeah. So, so we talked about these problems or areas that fit people kind of miss the mark on their diet. What about that? What about the fat people? Right, like if we can call them that, like you know, they would call themselves that, but then they get mad if we call them that. But anyway, you know, they have extra body fat. Like, what are the things that they're doing wrong? Because you know, they're the ones trying, you know, 3 or 4 different diets a year, or you know, binge eating and then calorie cutting and then just doing all kinds of. What I mean, what do you see those people when they come to you? Hey, I eat like this and I can't lose weight. What's going on? You know.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll go over the sort of nutritional priorities here in just a little bit, and I think it kind of helps paint a good picture for people. But you can have, you know, these nutritional priorities and what kind of matters the most in a diet. And the number one thing, by far and away, like you can have the perfect diet, right? You can have everything lined up. You can be counting your calories, macros, best nutrient timing, best supplements, best food quality, all of that. Well, it literally does not matter if you're not being consistent with the diet. So I think that's number one. If people happen to be overweight, they're probably not being consistent. And that probably feeds into, you know, why low-carb diets are fairly prevalent for people looking to lose weight. Because, you know, as a society, everyone wants really fast results, right? They want instant gratification. So how do you do that? Well, you cut the crap out of your carbs. All of a sudden you lose a bunch of water weight and you go, wow, this is really cool. So it's appealing in the short run, but is it a good route in the long run? Well, the answer is usually no. So I think those two kind of play in together. And then I think it's probably fairly easy to say this, but they're probably just eating in a caloric surplus, meaning they're eating more calories than they're burning. And so that just kind of ties back in with the consistency part. So you know, maybe they are following a diet a little bit during the week, and then the weekends hit and, you know, they're out with friends, family, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're just probably really overeating at certain times. And, you know, so, you know, it's how people gain weight, right? Calories in is greater than, calories in are greater than calories being expended, burned.
Yeah, for sure. So you're kind of alluding to these nutritional principles. Are you kind of like talking about the things that make RP strength what it is, those characteristics? I mean,
yeah. So, you know, if anyone follows us on Instagram at RP Strength, you know, my colleague Dr. Rizzatel has a really good chart, and it kind of lays out the sort of 5 main nutritional priorities and their inputs to overall diet success. And so, number one, we just talked about it. Again, you can have the best diet in the world, but if you're not actually following it, it doesn't really mean anything. So consistency is kind of this overriding, almost, hopefully it's common sense. You know, it's just like training. If you're not in the gym training, are you getting good results? No. you know, I think that makes that when you give the training analogy, it tends to like make people go, oh, well that
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, just went off in my head. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes total sense. All right, bro, I get it.
Yeah, totally. You know, if you're not training, well, all of a sudden, you know, that explains why you're not, you know, adding, you know, pounds to your, you know, your lifts or something like that. Well, same holds true when dieting. If you're only dieting 4 to 5 days out of the week, and then on the weekends you're just kind of doing whatever, that's what, you know, 70%. Well, yeah. You know, that 30% is kind of like a toss up. And what tends to happen if people do that, well, they just kind of, they'll lose some weight during the week and then they gain it weight, you know, gain it back. And so it's just kind of, they just kind of fluctuate at about the same weight for the most of the time. So, you know, consistency, hopefully it's common sense. You know, you have to be consistent in pretty much whatever you do. After that, you know, calorie balance, so just simply calories in, calories out, probably, you know, contributes about 50% of your diet success. And so what that means is, you know, you can have the best supplements, best nutrient timing, you know, count all of your macronutrients, all of that. But if your goal is to lose weight and you're not actually, you know, decreasing the number of calories that you're eating, or I guess even, you know, expending more calories through activity, but usually it's a combination of the two, you're probably just not going to lose weight. You're going to kind of stay the same weight. And the same would hold true if you're trying to gain weight. Like, you literally just have to eat more than you're burning in order to actually gain weight. So if you're doing everything else right, but you're not hitting that main point, probably not going very far. So the analogy that's used in the RP diet ebook that, you know, my colleagues wrote is it's like having a really nice car, but without an engine in it. So calorie balance is basically like your engine. So it's the most important part of it from there. So that's 50%. So you think about it, you go, oh, okay, well, that's great. So I can just eat Twinkies all day, right? But if I eat less than what I'm burning, I can lose weight. You know, not quite. You know, you'd probably lose a bunch of muscle. Strength athletes don't want to do that. So having the right macronutrient intake is number two. It's probably, you know, will count for about 30% of diet success. So just between those two, that's about 80%. So that's, you know, that's most of the pieces of the puzzle, right? That's four-fifths of the way there.
Calorie balance and what was the other?
Macronutrient
and
intake.
Okay.
Yep. So literally, you know, how many grams of protein, carbs, and fats do I need to eat each day? Maybe just touch on that real quick. Just some kind of general rules of thumb. Protein, you know, especially if you're on the kind of leaner side, 1 gram per pound of body weight's a good starting point. Carbs vary quite a bit just because, let's say if you're working out, you're only doing a Metcon or a WOD and you're only working out for 30 minutes versus if you're training like 2 to 3 hours the next day. Well, you need more carbs when you're training harder or for longer. So the general recommendations are maybe anywhere from like 0.5 on lower activity days, like on, you know, rest days or active recovery days, and all the way up to maybe like 2 or 2.5 if you're training a couple times a day, something like that. And that's per grams per pound of body weight. So if you're a 200 pound male, you know, roughly that's 200 grams of protein a day. And let's say you're training pretty hard, you know, training 2 hours a day or something like that, maybe you're having like 400 grams of carbs a day, which is, you know, pretty
good amount.
Yeah, a decent amount of carbs. So yeah,
insert the cereal.
Yeah, exactly, right? Well, that's, you know, for people who weigh more, the idea of, you know, consuming these large numbers of carbs is, you know, let's say you have 100 grams of carbs to eat. Well, that's like 2.5 cups of rice. That's quite a bit of food volume, you know, versus maybe right after a workout where you can get away with having some higher GI carbs. Well, maybe you have, you know, a bowl of Lucky Charms with skim milk, something like that. And, you know, I think for most people would agree it's easier to eat Lucky Charms than it is to eat, you know, bland rice. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, I am like the cereal king. Like, before I started measuring what I did, I ate cereal all the time.
And he puts half and half in it.
Yeah, cereal with half and half.
All right, all right, all right.
I don't know. I was going to ask you about gummy bears and cereal and how I can get those in every day. And
you know, on days that you're training twice a day and you can get away with having higher GI carbs post-workout right after the first session. So the idea is when you're training twice a day, so, you know, glycogen stores get depleted from the first workout of the day, you want higher GI carbs because those can help rapidly refill your glycogen store so you have a more productive second workout of the day. What are higher GI carbs? Like you said, sugary cereal, gummy bears, something like that. So it's actually okay. I know it seems really counterintuitive, especially in CrossFit because, you know, paleo.
Not to me. Sounds perfect.
Well, right. Yeah, for, you know, in this... For a higher level athlete, someone like yourself, you know, someone like, you know, Neil Maddox or something like that, they're used to eating that stuff. Like, they're like, okay. Like, they're like, yeah, that just makes sense. Like, you know, again, because they're working out so hard, they know that they can get away with doing that stuff. So, you know, it's not the case for, let's say, someone who's just coming in and doing, you know, 30 minutes a day. Well, there's probably not a big need for stuff like that. but it just kind of shows, you know, if it all plays a role, right? So there's the priorities, and you can kind of pick and choose, you know, well, here's what I need to focus on, and if you make little tweaks here and there, you know, if you look at the bigger picture, you can go, okay, well, it's not the end of the world. So protein and carbs there we covered. You know, fats really just kind of fill in the rest of the calories to whatever gets you your maintenance level. So that's macronutrient intake. After that is nutrient timing, probably about 10% of diet success. You know, we just kind of talked about it a little bit. You know, that just means, you know, timing.
Is that performance? Like, you're talking about nutrition timing. Is that key to your performance? Or is that, like, you know, in the gym? Or is that more key towards weight loss or both? I mean...
Yeah, you know, really, it's both. So again, you know, it's maybe about 10% of the diet success, but again, just from getting feedback from clients, especially that have never done, you know, higher GI carbs around training, or if they've never done like an intra workout shake, something as easy as, you know, Gatorade and like whey protein, something like that, while you're training. You know, for people who have never done it before, when they start doing it, they're like, oh my gosh, like. Mm-hmm. You know, now my 2-hour workout, you know, seems like nothing. Whereas before, after an hour, I was like hitting that wall. Well, now, you know, they're hitting, you know, just as much, you know, at the last 30 minutes of the workout than they were, you know, the first 30 minutes. So again, you know, it's not, you have to have everything else in order first for nutrient timing to make a big impact. But if you've never done it before, you know, we get a lot of feedback saying like, wow, you know, that was a game changer. And especially, I like to say, if you're new to dieting or something, focus on the basics, focus on calorie balance, getting the right macronutrient intake for the day. But for someone like yourself, who's, you know, really close to making it to the games, you know, competes at the regional level, well, those really minor details of nutrient timing, you know, we'll talk about food quality, you know, supplements and stuff like that. Well, those, you know, what's the difference between, you know, I don't know, sixth place and fifth place, making the games versus not making the games? Is that a really big difference? It's not a really big difference. So if you can kind of focus on those details, you know, details matter as you get more and more advanced in competing and all that. So that's more or less nutrient timing.
I think with the nutrition timing, you know, just hover around that for a second, is if you can do a longer workout, right, mm-hmm. and you can do that 5 days out of seven, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden you're putting in more training volume, which means you're doing that much more than the next guy, mm-hmm. right? So,
sure.
So an intro workout shake, if that puts you being able to train at 2.5 hours when normally you'd be shut down at like an hour and a half,
mm-hmm.
you totally. Know, that's an extra hour yeah. of intensity that you're able to put your mm-hmm. body to. It's going to force
sure.
adaptation, right, on the muscular or neurological
it's
level.
More, yeah, it's more technique work or something like that. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of those, you know, little benefits that maybe, you know, your rival down the road, maybe he's not doing it.
Mm-hmm. They are now. They're going to listen to this podcast yeah, right. and everybody's
going
to jump
oh, on snap.
It. Yeah, right. yeah. Oh, that's how it works, right?
But, yeah, so nutrient timing, you know, just literally timing. Most of your carbs come around training, so pre, intra, post. Fats kind of do the opposite. Fats usually go down around training just because they slow down digestion, absorption of things. So you kind of want things to get into your system faster. So having a bunch of fats around training, typically you want to lower them a little bit, and proteins just really spread evenly throughout the day. So that's, you know, nutrient timing kind of in a nutshell. From there, the last two are really just really minor details. So food quality, maybe like 5%. So it just means like complete versus incomplete sources of protein. So if the bulk of your proteins come from, you know, like animal sources, you know, your meats, eggs, stuff like that, that's probably a good idea. It just has to do with the glycemic index of carbs. So if you're going to have higher GI carbs, you know, have them around training. Like, you wouldn't want to be eating sugary cereal on a rest day. Like, again, it's more of a detail, but again, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then fats, just like unsaturated versus saturated, so not a huge deal. So again, that's kind of a minor detail. And the last one is just supplements. I mean, everyone takes supplements for the most part. So again, there's not like a huge factor, but again, you know, you guys probably know as coaches at a CrossFit gym, you know, time is a limiting factor when you're, let's say your class ends and you have 3 to 5 minutes before your next one starts. Well, what's easier to eat, you know, a bowl of rice and chicken and all that, or having like a shake? So shakes, you know, just come in, they can play a pretty big role in terms of just convenience. So
sure. So those are the five things. So you always you got your, the first thing was what?
Calorie balance, macronutrient intake, mm-hmm. Nutrient timing, food quality, and supplements. And of course, I guess number six, which is really number one, is just the overriding. You have to be consistent with,
yeah.
with any diet. And it's just like training, you know. So
if there was something other than like the, like, let's just get into like a little more of the details. What supplements are you seeing people using that are also playing factor? You know what I mean? Like, other than maybe just whey protein, is there, do you have other supplements you recommend? Is it, you know, I mean, I always think of fish oil just because, you know, like, how does that?
So there's probably five main supplements that have quite a bit of evidence behind them. They work, they've been around for a long time. So whey protein around training is a good idea. Casein protein is pretty much the exact opposite of whey. So it's really slow digesting. So it's good at a time where you're not going to eat for a while. So the best example is usually before bedtime. So whey, casein, a carbohydrate supplement. We kind of already talked about that a little bit. Something as easy as Gatorade and Powerade. Or, you know, most supplement companies are kind of coming around and realizing that, you know, they want to make a carb drink, you know, around training. So, you know, I won't name examples. I mean, if you look up any supplement company, they probably have one. Those are three. Creatine monohydrate tends to be a pretty good one. It's been around for a while. It's been proven to have some pretty decent results with it. And then stimulants, you know, caffeine is probably the fifth one.
Yeah,
those are probably the main five. You know, other than that, you know, you talked about fish oil, you know, fish oil, multivitamins, stuff like that. You know, it's probably a good idea just for like general health.
Yeah.
Again, we don't have like any specific recommendations for that, but you know, I think
play around with it if it works for you.
Yeah. You know, and if you're eating fish a couple times a week, like, is it probably necessary? No, not really. But is it going to, you know, maybe hurt anything? You know, chances are no. So that's kind of supplements in a nutshell.
Very cool. So I think that, you know, just as we're kind of just, you know, wrapping up a little bit, you know, towards, you know, really, I don't know, making this something people can digest, why are they going to want to do RP strength versus, you know, something else, you know, like.
Yeah, sure. So I guess I get to brag about my colleagues a little bit. So I already talked about my buddy, Dr. Mike Isertel. He has a PhD in sport physiology. Pretty much all of our consultants that we work with at RP have a, you know, at least a master's degree, if not a PhD in a sport related field. So I think that's, you know, number one, just the academics really sets us apart. And, you know, everything's evidence based, everything's scientific. And from there, you know, well, you may think, well, you guys are just nerds then, right? Like, you just sit and read books and, you know, you can't apply that, you know, yourselves or whatever. And that's not actually the case. You know, one of our consultants, Mike Caruso, is a pro strongman. You know, he can strict overhead press 400 plus pounds. He has a PhD in, you know, cellular and molecular biology, and he's competed at the World Strongman the last couple of years. So, you know, like, he was on TV or whatever.
So Steph, he pretty much doesn't know anything.
Yeah, right. So again, it's just kind of you know, our goal starting RP, I guess, was. And again, just I have a bodybuilding background, so I just you kind of have like the, you know, the nerds, so to speak, that'll, you know, can quote you 50 scientific evidence, but they weigh 140, 150 pounds, and you kind of question if they actually lift. Right. And you know, it's nothing against them. Maybe they just don't have the best genetics or whatever. But it's hard for serious athletes, you know, serious bodybuilders to take those people, you know, seriously, because you just go, okay, come on, like. Do you even lift? I mean, that's kind of what the, yeah. Do you even lift, bro? So there's, you know, like discontent between, you know, these kind of nerds and the, you know, quote unquote, meatheads.
Yeah.
So the meatheads, like, you know, they don't care about, you know, the scientific evidence, so to speak. They just care, like, what's actually going to work. You know, like, I just want to get in the gym. I just want to lift. You know, I just want to see results. And so there's this big divide, and we just kind of said, well, you can be both. Like, You can use science to help formulate the best plan of attack, and then you just apply that in the gym and train your ass off, and guess what? You kind of get the best of both worlds. So that's really, I think, you know, that's just our main thing, and especially, you know, in nutrition, you know, I love social media. You know, RP wouldn't be anything without social media, but you see all these people who really don't have any qualifications. It's just like, you know, Joe Schmo lost 10 pounds and now he's, you know, a self-proclaimed diet coach.
Right.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. So again, you know, you want people, you know, my colleague, Dr. Jen Case, has a PhD in sport nutrition. She's an RD. She's also a world champion jiu-jitsu grappler. So it's like, yeah, what's up? You know, yeah. I mean, she could literally probably kick my butt.
Yeah.
So again, it's just combining both and just really, you know, sitting down and kind of looking at all the evidence and going, well, what's the best plan of attack? What's going to get us from point A to point B in the most efficient way? What's the most optimal way to go about doing it? And, yeah, that's, I would say that's it.
Very cool. Right before we leave, we had a few people who jumped on our Instagram for Beyond the Barbell.
Cool.
Yeah, and they had some questions for you. I've got like five or six good ones here. One's in another language, so I don't really know how to read that.
Can I plead the fifth on that one?
Yeah. I didn't have enough time to run the translation through the translation. So this one's from Drob Nomad. And what's the percentage difference, macro difference between like a bulk cycle and cutting?
So when you're looking to gain weight, you probably want to gain weight at about a rate of, let's say, 1 to 2 pounds a week. So the best way to grow muscle is being in a caloric surplus, so eating more than you're burning. The best way to lose weight is to be in a caloric deficit. Why don't you just eat so much that you're gaining several pounds a day or something like that? Well, no one really wants to get fat, especially in CrossFit. It's just going to make you slower on all the body weight stuff. So if you can limit the amount of gain, you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. You can actually be in a surplus while not allowing so much that you're gaining a lot of fat. Will you maybe gain just a little bit? Yeah, but, you know, that's a trade-off. Fat's pretty easy to lose down the road. So 1 or 2 pounds a week when you're gaining, the inverse applies when you're looking to lose weight, 1 to 2 pounds a week. So why don't you cut weight super, super fast? Hopefully we already talked about that, so you don't drop strength and performance.
Pretty cool. The next question is from Kelly O'Grady. She says, I don't like eating so many small meals. Can I combine the macros into larger meals, especially in the evening? Also on a cut, half serving of fat seems very low. Thanks.
She might have the templates if she's talking about the half servings of fat. Yes, you can. So if we look back at the nutritional priorities, so calorie balance is king. And so like nutrient timing, what she's talking about, nutrient timing also has to do with meal frequency. So how many meals do you eat a day? It's absolutely cool to combine a meal here or there. So
that's nice. A little flexibility. Yeah. You know, I, when I started doing this, I've been doing RP strength for about a week. And
are you jacked now, bro?
Yeah, I'm getting so huge. And but I am hitting lifts I haven't been able to hit for a while.
Very cool.
You know, most people know I had surgery recently, and I had a goal of being able to snatch my body weight by Thanksgiving post-op. So, you know, I snatched 305 in July. So then being able to come back and snatch at least my body weight by Thanksgiving was my goal. I was able to do that yesterday, so I was
nice.
I did that less than 90 days post-op.
Nice.
So with six That's anchors crazy. In my shoulder. I don't necessarily accredit that to RP strength just yet. But
yeah, sure, and I wouldn't take credit for that anyways. It's just been a week. So.
But I'm feeling really, really good. The one thing that I notice on it is I don't feel like I'm tricking my body, you know, into losing weight. Like I don't feel like I've cut carbs and all of a sudden like I'm like super dry and like, you know, like, whoa, I look great, but my energy is like really bad. Like I feel good and I'm working out just fine, you know? And so
that's the idea.
Yep. There you go. So the next question is from the Salt Gypsy. I don't know.
Sweet.
I'm gonna click the profile here once we go off the air, but how often do you need to switch up your macros in order to keep seeing changes once you've started to maintain a weight? I'm stuck at about 135 pounds, and I still have 5 more pounds to go.
Good question. So, again, if your goal is to, you know, lose weight, so, again, you're going to have to lower calories a bit in order to get there. So if you've already done that a couple times, well, you probably want to give each diet update that you make, I don't know, 1 to 2 weeks or so to kind of kick in. Because, again, you know, water weight fluctuations can play a pretty big role, especially for females. They'll see that a lot. So, you know, maybe you're actually getting leaner, but the scale won't necessarily reflect it because of water weight and all that. So 1 to 2 weeks at least if you're going to make a diet update before you would make another one. You know, give it time to kind of kick in. And hopefully if there is any water weight fluctuations, a couple weeks will kind of correct that and things should kind of level out and be trending where they should.
I don't know how often you were like messing with athletes in the gym and seeing like that, but I feel like people kind of get that way in training. They're like, hey, you know what, man, my body weight movements, they suck so bad. I need to really work on my gymnastics. I'm like, oh yeah, cool, let's do that. And about 2 weeks into it, like, you know, my barbell movements are just not feeling as smooth as they were. Yeah. So I'm going to go back to doing some barbell stuff. And you're just like, okay, well, we didn't really have enough time to fix your gymnastics movements.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You're not actually like being consistent enough and thorough enough and following through that plan before you start dividing. And then maybe people do that nutritionally too.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of periodization 101, right? Like you have to pick certain times when you're going to focus on certain things. So you can't improve everything all the time. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you have an off season, well, maybe you're, you know, really good at snatching, but your, you know, gymnastics stuff is suffering a little bit. So you spend more time bringing that up. Well, that's just kind of, I don't know, I want to say common sense, but that's, you know, more or less periodization. You have planned sort of planned sequence events that you, you know, you're okay, I'll make a, you know, a very temporary trade-off where whatever, my snatch won't improve or something, but my gymnastics are going to get a lot better and my snatch is already pretty good, so I'm okay with that.
Bro,
trade-off.
RP Strength is going to be like the new CrossFit coaching, like online CrossFit coaching as well.
Oh, I mean,
like,
snap.
That was like so much more, you know, well thought out than like half of what I hear out there from like most people, so.
Well, I, not me personally, but I have a couple of colleagues, again, PhD in sport physiology, so they literally studied at ETSU. Dr. Mike Stone is like basically the pioneer in like sport training periodization, and you know, I mean, you can talk about the same would apply for powerlifting or, you know, anything like that, but you know, if you're going to peak for even weightlifting, you know, if you're peaking for a meet, you know, you have usually three phases. You have, you know, you're going to peak. Usually you have a strength phase. Usually you have like a hypertrophy block. So, I mean, again, it's a lot more complicated with CrossFit because there's just so many other variables that you have to be good at all the time. But again, if you make a temporary trade-off where you want to get better at one thing, we have to accept that, you know, you're not everything's going to improve all the time. So whatever, maybe you're just, maybe someone is just a little bit lighter or something and they just need to get a little bit bigger. Well, you just spend, you know, maybe your off season is spent focusing more on, you know, a lot of just higher volume work just to put on muscle and just to put on, you know, gain weight. Well, the trade off might be, you know, body weight stuff becomes just a little bit more difficult. But if your strength, I don't know, maybe your squat goes from like 405, like 455, well, you know, again, trade offs, right?
Yeah, it might be worth it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if your squat goes from like 355 to 405. Hey, we're talking Jay's language now.
Yeah, well, shoot, man. That, you know, 50-pound jump is it's nothing to joke about.
Yeah.
That's legit. So this next question is from It's Kenzie Riley. She says, I'm at a place in my career, a top regional contender. I prioritize performance and recovery from training high volume. When it comes to diet, yet feel leaning out would provide some competitive advantages. What would be the way to approach this while ensuring my priorities are covered? I don't understand smashing donuts and ice cream and being lean AF, lean as freak, and amongst the fittest on earth. It doesn't work like that for me. LOL.
Yeah, sure. So again, you know, you just want to get a
was
little
that
bit.
All one sentence? Was there a period in there or a comma? There's some punctuation? Okay.
Well, thank you for the question, first of all. Again, going back to, you know, you limit the amount of weight that you lose each week. And again, that's done, you know, for a reason. So you don't have to do anything drastic with your diet. And it sounds like she's already really lean. She's already a high level competitor. She's already really lean. So you're not going to have a lot of weight to lose. So maybe you just spend, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months dieting a little bit, and you only drop like 5 pounds or so. If you're only dropping 5 pounds over the course of 6 to 8 weeks, that's less than 1 pound per week. I mean, if you should absolutely not see any, you know, drop in performance.
Yeah, it kind of seems like a similar situation on the female side as I'm in on the male side, right? Like I'm really prioritizing recovering and and just getting back into the gym, right? Like I need to get into the gym a lot, so in order to make that final push. But at the same time, you gotta have the nutrition to.
Yeah, sure. You know, if you have your nutrition lined up, recovery should be a little bit better. And like you said before, you know, maybe you can add a little bit of training time and a few minutes here and there, 15, 30 minutes a day, you know, over a course of a week. That's what, over an hour times a whole off season. Well, now all of a sudden, maybe you have 20 more hours of training or something like that.
Yeah. Well, just to shift gears just for a quick second, you know, what does your day look like personally, you know, with all this, you know, newfound popularity with all these templates you guys are writing with whatever, you know, now you're going back and forth, you're intercontinental or whatever. I don't even know what the term is, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're just traveling. Like, what does your day look like? You wake up in the morning and what?
Yeah. So, I mean, I pretty much, you know what? My wife laughs at me, but I spend a good amount of my time on social media. You know, my phone's pretty much glued to my hip. kind of always answering, you know, client emails or people just emailing about information, stuff like that. And I love it, man. I don't train people in person anymore. I work from home, so I have a super flexible schedule. You know, I have two small kids, so I can take my son to school and all that stuff, and, you know, I can kind of see my kids. I work at home, so, I mean, I love it. I mean, I wouldn't change a thing. So that's more or less my day. I mean, it just, you know, I'm not, I don't know, a crazy, you know, I don't really do a whole lot. I just kind of work and lift weights, and that's...
You lift at home too, or do you?
I go to a gym. Yeah, you know, I thought about maybe putting in like a home gym, but then I'm like, man, if I do that, I'm literally never going to leave my house.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's actually kind of nice to, you know, like leave for a bit and like go to a gym and actually like see other people out in the real world. And
what about the, you said you have a wife and?
Yeah, so I have a 3.5-year-old son and a 1.5-year-old daughter.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice. So that's more or less a full-time job in
you
itself.
You guys done with kids, or are you guys?
We have one of each, so we're good.
Yeah, okay.
One boy,
right.
One girl.
Dude,
we're good.
I have two of each, so yeah. I'm just saying, man. You can just keep going, bro.
That's two times the...
No, it's like four times the headache.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm sure
exponential.
Exponentially, yeah, I was just going to say that, man. I bet. I can only imagine. So, yeah, no, one of each. We're good.
So I know that most people who are listening to this probably have started to... kind of hear the buzz about RP Strength, but if people want to follow you or get more info, where do you want us to send them?
Yeah, you know, Instagram. Our Instagram page is I think fairly popular. It's just at RP Strength. Same for Twitter, Facebook, or Renaissance Periodization. So it's kind of a long name. Is it that way for a reason? But, you know, with Google, if you just kind of start typing it in, it kind of auto-populates itself. But, yeah, usually Instagram is where most people hear about us. Or you can just visit our website, renaissanceperiodization.com.
Very cool. And if you guys want to hear more of the podcast or maybe some of the things that we have going on, you guys follow us at BTB Podcast on Instagram. You can also follow us on Facebook. You could go to btbpodcast.com. And then you guys will hear any of our upcoming episodes that we have planned, and maybe shoot us some questions so we can answer those on the podcast for you. Nick, thank you for coming in, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Jay filling in for the one and only skinny as ever, Blair Morrison, did a really good job.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it.